This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahdah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah, ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu, wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi, wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi, wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atihi. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة صدق الله العظيم respected علماء honorable مولانا سليمان راوت for playing a very important role together with his team the نور الإسلام committee the radio Islam team the جمعية العلماء for organizing the seerah in a most beautiful way in the past 9 years, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it continue. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his numerous favors upon us, which we will never be able to enumerate. And Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran specifically makes mention of one of his favors. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ I have done you a tremendous favor by sending upon you a Rasul, a prophet, min anfusihim, from amongst your own kind. He is a human being, not in terms of stature and status like you, but he is a human being that he shares human attributes like you. I have done you a favor by sending upon you a prophet from amongst you. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, who recites Allah Ta'ala's ayat upon you, wa yuzakkihim, and he purifies you, wa yu'allimuhumul kitab wal hikmah, and he teaches you the kitab, and he teaches you wisdom. This is Allah Ta'ala's favor, which Allah specifically mentions it. Laqad manna Allah, I have done you a tremendous favor. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every aspect is nothing but rahmat and rahmat upon us. Darood us par ke jiski zindagi rahmat hi rahmat hai. Darood be upon that being and that personality that his life was rahmat hi rahmat. It was mercy upon mercy. Respected elders and brothers, there are two aspects of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One aspect is his greatness. And the reality with regard to his greatness is you and I, we will never be able to do justice in relating or in listening to his greatness. He is beyond what we can ever praise or what we can ever hear about our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brother Junaid Jamshed, may Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor, made certain naats and made certain nazams very famous. One of them was, Ey Rasool-e Ameen, خاتم المرسلین تجھ سا کوئی نہیں تجھ سا کوئی نہیں ہے عقیدہ یہ اپنا بصدق و یقین تجھ سا کوئی نہیں تجھ سا کوئی نہیں او رسول امین خاتم المرسلین seal of all prophethood there is no one like you there is no one like you it is part and parcel of our iman and conviction that there is no one like you there will never ever be anyone like you دستِ قدرت نے ایسا بنایا تجھے Allah has created you so. Jumla osaf se khud sajaya tujhe. He had inculcated within you and he had adorned within you all good qualities. Ey azal ke haseen. Ey abad ke haseen. Tujhsa koi nahi, tujhsa koi nahi. One who was beautiful from the inception of time till eternity. He is beautiful from eternity, from the inception of time till eternity. There is no one like you. There is no one like you. Dil ko himmat nahi, lab ko yara nahi, tujhsa koi nahi, tujhsa koi nahi. The heart does not have the capacity. The tongue does not have the eloquence to describe you. Just to say in short, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. We can go on to make mention with regard to the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But suffice to say, we will never ever be able to do justice. We would like to thank and put on record what Mufti Menk has made mention with regard to the praise of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him with regard to his eloquence and making mention with regard to the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just to give you one example, talking about, you know, the Urdu poet had said, Salam uspar jisne zakham kaakar pool barsaye. Look at our beloved Nabi, salam upon him, that when he received wounds from people, instead of returning it with wounds and returning it with abuse, he returned it with flowers. Salam uspar jisne galia sunkar duaayi. Salam be upon that being, that when he received criticism and he received abuse and he had received swearing from people, he did not respond in kind. What did he do? He responded by making dua for those who abused him. You know, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam made dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala tughzini yawma yub'athun. Oh Allah, do not disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any formal dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make mention with regard to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yawma la yughzillahu nabi walladhina amanu ma'ah. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, we will not disgrace you and we will not disgrace those people who bring iman upon you. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam made dua to Almighty Allah. Wajunubni wabaniya an na'bud al asnam. O Allah, save me and my children from worshipping idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, innama yuridu Allahu liyudhiba ankum ar-ritsa al-bayt. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, all your family members, we will purify them from all types of calamities and all types of spiritual impurities. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam made dua, وَغْفِرْ لِي خَتِيعَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. O Allah, forgive me on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared for our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is free from all faults, free from any type of impurities and guna and sins, minor or major. But yet Allah ta'ala says, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ. Your previous, your subsequent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven, and its place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated your status beyond human perception. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam made dua, Rabbi shrahli sadri. Oh Allah, broaden my chest and open up my chest to receive your guidance and to receive your wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared for our beloved Nabi, alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not widened your chest and expanded your breast and your heart to receive the guidance and wahi from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam made dua, وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي. Oh Allah, make things easy for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ زَحْرَكَ. We have made things easy for you and we have lifted up all types of burden for you. And the Anbiya made dua, وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Oh Allah, keep our reputations and give us a good honor and good name amongst the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared with regard to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have exalted your name and your name will be taken wherever the name of Allah ta'ala is. Sometimes I wonder, in the midst of the cities of disbelief, and there also you will find the Muazzin will say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. I bear witness that Muhammad is a Rasul of Almighty Allah. We can go on, my dear respected brothers, making mention with regard to the greatness. However, today I would like to take you on a journey that we cannot only make mention of the greatness, we have to bring and inculcate the qualities of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within us. After all, Allah has not only in the Quran mentioned His greatness. Allah has mentioned His greatness in many ayats of the Quran. Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidaw wa mubashiraw wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir. Allah has revealed, and Allah, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. But also Allah had said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. We have made your life a perfect example for people to follow and emulate. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought about various conditions upon the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is worthy of emulation, easy to emulate. So our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born an orphan. An orphan will inculcate within him qualities of independence and humility. So you will find that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala has chosen that he must be born an orphan. Then when he was in his infancy, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was set in the wide expanse of the desert. Now what did that create? It created simplicity. It created a situation of being away from the formal living of urban living. In urban living, there's a certain degree of formality. In the desert, you are free from that particular type of formality. You live a very simple life, a life that is free from formalities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that. Then our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was young, he observed and he witnessed a civil war of such magnitude, when people were killing one another without any reason, just because of tribal pride. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this when he was young. It created in him compassion, and such compassion for humanity that was to be manifest in the later stages of his life. Then when our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was young, he remained single up till the age of 25. That's a time when many a times, recently I was going abroad, someone asked me and said, Maulana, how do we control our hormones when we are young? How do we control ourselves when there are temptations? There are all types of things that are inviting us and enticing us towards doing something which is haram. Our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us, till the age of 25 he was single. And he lived that life with such modesty, with such bashfulness, that the people used to say he was more bashful than a modest virgin in seclusion. If the Nabi of Allah could have done that, you can also do it. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained single till the age of 25, and he remained modest, he remained chaste, he remained in a way that he did not get involved in any type of immorality. Then our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he first got married, he got married to someone who was 15 years his senior, to show that there is no stigma in getting married to a woman that is more advanced to you in age. There is no stigma. Then also it showed his concern with regard to protecting those who are vulnerable. When he did get married to other women, then he got married to different types of women with different temperaments, to show us that if your wife happens to be of a different temperament, then learn to accept her despite the temperament that she has. Today we make a joke with regard to it. We say that marriages are made in heaven just like lightning and thunder. Huh? We say that. But this is the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had different women, different people, wives who had different temperaments. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was enthusiastic. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took care of her enthusiasm. Made her stand over his shoulder to see a display of the warriors when she wanted to see. When she wanted to be amongst those who wanted to inculcate and bring knowledge, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not prevent her. Stop preventing your women and your wives to improve themselves. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do it with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. He encouraged her that she became the fourth highest transmitter of ahadith. Fourth highest in the history of the Sahaba. With over 1600 ahadith that she narrated. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed to her, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I got certain types of reservation. What reservations do you have? Ya Rasulullah, I'm starting to become advanced in age. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm also advanced in age. Then she said, Ya Rasulullah, I got a family. I will look after your family. You are a widow, you got another family. I will look after your family. Go and look at the seerah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got every one of Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala's children married. Then she said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm very jealous. I'm very sensitive. How am I going to stay in a household in which you have many? Nabi, what did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? I will take care of your sensitivity. I will take care of your sensitivity. If your wife happened to be possessive, then look, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had such a wife. Allah Ta'ala brought about these different situations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes in a battle he was victorious. Sometimes in the beginning there was victory. In the end there was setback, Uhud. Sometimes in the beginning there was a setback, and in the end there was victory, Hunain. All these came upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? So that he can be a perfect example. Brothers, I would like to ask that today we all take an oath and we all make a commitment that I want to make Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life the way I want to lead my life. Well, we all try and do that, inshallah. Instead of looking at other management gurus and look at other motivational writers, I want to take the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala's seerat and I want to learn how my Nabi dealt with Allah, how he dealt with people, how he dealt with the community, and I want to make that the basis of how I'm going to lead my life. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that when our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be sitting with the wives, and he used to sit with Azwaj, and then the time of Azan used to come, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to then carry on as if we were not in his midst. He used to immediately turn towards Salat. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, I one day asked, Ya Rasulullah, why do you worship Allah in such a great manner that even your legs are swelling up and there are blisters upon your legs because of standing in such long duration in Salah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you such a great and high status, Allah has declared, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Why do you continue doing? He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant of Allah? Allah granted me this elevated status. Why shouldn't I then go and praise and go and worship the one who has granted me all this great status? He showed us how to make ibadat of Almighty Allah. Despite his greatness, look at how he went to this extent to go and make ibadat. We are so far behind, we find it difficult to make 2 rakats of namaz. And may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon that particular imam if one day, instead of 8 minutes, he made the Isha 10 minutes. Ya Allah, Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him. Allah have mercy upon him. And the Nabi of Allah would stand right to the extent that he used to have blisters and his feet used to swell. He taught us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught us how to interact and how to ask from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he taught us so many other things. Look at this. Today there are certain trends. Where today people talk about these trends. And today we talk about democracy. And we talk about the sanctity of human beings. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the means of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taught us. In Hajjatul Wida, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا عجمي على عربي. There is no superiority of the black over the white, or the white over the black. And there is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab, or the non-Arab over the Arab. Everyone is born equal. Whether you are black or you are white or you are Indian, you are brown, you are pink, whatever you are born equal. Whether you come from Gujarat or whether you come from Soweto, you are born equal. You are not going to surge ahead on the basis of your ethnicity or your race or your tribe or your color. The only thing that you are going to surge ahead is on the basis of your conduct and your taqwa and piety. If you want to go and compete, don't go and compete on the basis of the color of your skin. Go and compete on the basis of your taqwa and your piety. And he taught through the means of the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We gave honor to every child of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. On this ayat, من قتل نفسا أو نفسا بغير نفس فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. He who kills one human being, it is as if he has killed the entire humanity. Hazrat Maulana Khalid Saifullah Mattazilluhu Al-Ali writes, لأن احترام الحياة الإنسانية إذا ذهب القلب فلا فرق بين قتل شخص وجماعة. When you do not have the sanctity and respect for human life, and if that goes out of your heart, then it doesn't make a difference whether you kill one person or you kill the entire humanity. Allah Ta'ala taught us, if you kill one human being, it is like killing the entire humanity. Subhanallah. Look at the aspect with regard to sanctity of human life. Never mind human life when a person is alive. When a person is dead, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kasri azmil mayyati ka kasrihi hayyan. To disturb and to give hurt to the bones of a dead person is like giving taklif to a person when he is alive. This is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought. Never mind respecting a person when he is alive, a human being when he is alive. Even when he is a mayyat, you give him respect. Sahal bin Hunayf and Qais bin Sa'ad were in the battle of Qadisiyah. When they were in the battle of Qadisiyah, a person with whom they were fighting. A non-Muslim was killed in the battle, and his janazah was going past. Both these two sahaba got up. Other sahaba were amazed. You are getting up on the janazah of someone who was fighting with you in the battle, and you are getting up in respect. Why are you doing so? They said, we saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa one day getting up in respect of a mayyat. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa got up, someone said, Ya Rasulullah, this is a mayyat of a Jew. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa said, I know it's a Jew. Is it not a human being? He showed us and he taught us respect. Today, the modern world want to tell us respect of human being, sanctity of human being. Our Nabi taught us this 1400 years ago. Never mind teaching us sanctity of a person who was alive. He taught us the sanctity of human beings that they were dead. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, Naha anil muthla. It was a common trait amongst people at that time that in the battle when they used to take out the frustration upon the enemies, they used to mutilate the bodies of the dead. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade it. He said, you will not mutilate the bodies of people in the battlefield. You will fight upon them because there's a legitimate reason to fight, but you will not mutilate the bodies. Look at this. In terms of giving protection of honor, he honored even people who were non-Muslims. Never mind the people who are Muslims. If we want to follow the seerah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Let us learn from the seerah. We can't honor our own. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to honor those who were other people, people of other faiths. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote a letter to the kings of the world, he wrote a letter to Heraclius. Brothers, I want you to listen to this. مِن مُحَمَّدِ الرَّسُولِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ حِرَقَ الْعَزِيمَ الرُّومِ. From Muhammad, the Rasul of Almighty Allah, to Heraclius, the great leader of Rome. He didn't call him by any other name. Oh, you disbeliever. Oh, you kafir. إِلَىٰ حَرَقَ الْعَزِيمَ الرُّومِ. Heraclius, the great leader of Rome. Sahaba asked him, and this is written by Mawlana Khalid Saifullah, he replied to this and he said, لا حرج في ذلك لأن أتباعهم يذكرون كذلك. There is nothing wrong in calling him by that title because the people of his land, they call him by that title. We can't call our own by proper titles. Here he was calling the leader of Harak to the Roman Empire, إلى حرق العظيم الروم, writing a letter. He gave respect and honor to people who are other, from other faiths. Then he even took into account people of his own companions. What was their tabiat? What was their temperament? I must keep in mind their temperament and deal with them accordingly. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day sitting and he was in a relaxed mood. And of course, normally when you are in a relaxed mood, you sit with a certain degree of informality. You are not formal. So you are sitting, you are relaxing. Maybe in today's time you will say you are sitting with your t-shirt and you are sitting with a short kurta, right? You are sitting with your lungi. In that particular way, you are more relaxed. You are not sitting in a formal gathering where you are in a formal function or you are in a masjid. You are sitting at home. So at that particular time, Abu Bakr came and asked for permission to enter. Come inside, Abu Bakr, and he sat in that same informal way. Umar came and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued sitting in that informal way. And then Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu knocked on the door. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh, Uthman." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, put his kurta right, sat in a certain degree of formality, and welcomed Uthman. Aisha is witnessing all this. When everything went past, and then Hazrat Aisha said, "Ya Rasulullah, tell me, Abu Bakr came, Umar came, you sat in a relaxed, informal manner. Uthman came, you sat with formality. What did he say? Oh Aisha, why should I not show modesty to a person that even the angels show modesty to?" He took into account his temperament. Today you and I will say, this man is a difficult man. Who's going to sit and listen to his nonsense? If he's got a certain temperament, live according to his temperament. This is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Weigh the examples of your actions before you do something. Many a times we want to do something, we just feel, Our emotions say, let us go and do it. I feel I want to do something without worrying about the consequences. What consequences will it happen to the people, to the community, especially if you are in some leadership position? If you are an imam of a masjid, you are a trustee of a masjid, you are head of your family. Don't you think about what you are doing, what consequences it will have? At one particular occasion, very long incident, Zayd ibn Thabit heard Abdullah bin Ubay saying, لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. When we return back to Medina, we who are honorable, the people of Medina, these who are disgraceful, Aliyadu Billah, the people of Makkah, the Quraysh, who have come with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Muhajir, we will expel them from Medina. He is calling Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aliyadu Billah, Adal. The Quran has made mention with regard to it. And at that particular time, Zayd ibn Thabit came and tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, young Sahabi, people said, Zayd, you have misheard. Abdullah bin Ubay is a very influential person. He is a leader of the tribe. When Allah Ta'ala revealed that this is what Abdullah bin Ubay said, Umar took out his sword. Ya Rasulullah, this man called you Adal. He called you a disgraceful person. You are the leader of Medina. This is an act of treason. Allow me to take out my sword and kill him. What did Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? Oh Umar, leave him. Don't kill him. Ya Rasulullah, why shouldn't I kill him? Oh Umar, the people of Arabia will say Muhammad kills his own companions. Don't kill him. People will say Muhammad kills his own companions. He was worried about the consequences of his action. He was worried what his actions, what perception will happen. What will people think? We can fight in our community. We can call one another names. We're not worried with regard to the perception that happens out to the communities or to the outside community. This was not the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, oh Umar, don't kill him. People will say Muhammad kills his own companion. And this is something that is not a good perception that will be there. And in this particular way, his killing will be even more harmful than leaving him. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was worried about everything he did. Do we ever think about the consequences, whether it be within our own family, whether it be in our own community, what we do? Look at how in that very same expedition, the Muhajirin and Ansar were on the verge of having a civil war between the people of Makkah, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned them and said, "Ma ba'lu da'wal jahiliyyah." What is the slogan of ignorance? Fa'inna muntina. It has an odor, it smells, stay away from it. I didn't come to call you on the basis of tribes and on the basis of clans and on the basis of organizations and on the basis of this is my party, this is my organization, this is my tariqah, this is my, I'm from this group and that is from that group. I didn't come and call you. I come to call you on the basis of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. As a leader, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us in the Battle of Uhud, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asking for mashura, what should we do? There's an enemy on the doorstep. And one view was, we must go and fight the enemy out there, outside Medina. One view which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam favored, we will stay in Medina. We know the landscape of Medina. We know the roads of Medina. Let them come and attack us. We will be able to deal with them more efficiently because we know the in and outs of the streets of Medina. And the younger Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, this is not the way. This is not the way to fight. We are not cowards. We would like to fight them in the open. What did our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? He took into account the enthusiasm and he made the decision in their favor. A leader is never rigid in his decision making. Whether he's be the leader of a community, whether he's the leader of his family, he listens to those people who are under him. He takes into account the emotions. He takes into account what they are saying. Then he deals with it. What do we learn? When you are in any position of leadership, then learn how to deal with it. If you want to influence people, if you want to change people, look at some of the ways our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed. Sometimes you want to speak to people, you want to give him a, you know, you are in the mood of giving a lecture. You are in the mood of giving an advice. Sometimes a person is not in the mood. Take that into account. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day came and, you know, wake up one sahabi. It was a time of tahajjud or fajr, whatever. And at that particular time, you know, the sahabi said certain things and said, if Allah Ta'ala wanted to wake us up, Allah would have woke us up. He didn't get up at that time. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't get despondent. You and I, we go and speak to one person, he doesn't listen. You go and call him for a chilla, he says, no, I'm not in this particular time or mood, I can't do it. We become despondent. What we say, people have become bad. People have become corrupted. They have become batil. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't do so. He came away from saying, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْهٍ جَدَلًا. Human beings are prone towards argumentation. Sometimes, when you want to speak to a person, he doesn't respond correctly. Come at another time when he will respond effectively. Don't become despondent. Learn from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you want to tell someone something with regard to coming up on the right path, then use the method of encouragement. Encourage people to do so. You can't discourage people and then tell them they must do good. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day told me, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Ulama say that there is no other recorded way that Al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has addressed any Sahaba in these ways. And someone who went to the qabr of Hazrat Mu'adh is written that on the qabr of Mu'adh is written this word, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Ya Mu'adh, I love you. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Read after every namaz. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. Oh Allah, help me in remembering you, in being grateful to you, and making proper ibadat of you. Hazrat Mu'adh said, I never ever forgot that dua. Because he told him in such a way. Now can you imagine, compare that. A gadara dubar. And then tell him, Allahumma inni ala dhikra. Where is he going to learn? Ya Mu'adh inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Read this. Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Hafsa, oh Hafsa, your brother Abdullah ibn Umar is such a wonderful person with such great qualities. If only he can add in his amal tahajjud prayers. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he came to hear about it, he said, after that, I never must tahajjud. I never must tahajjud. He didn't say, you are such a person, you can't even read tahajjud. He is such a good person. If only he does this thing. Encourage people, especially in the time that you and I are living. That's the way. Even if you want to rectify a wrong that they are doing. Abu Bukra, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to, one day he was coming to the masjid, he ran. Now how many times sometimes we do, you know, the imam is going into ruku, and now we are running. And while we are running, you know, we're making our Allahu Akbar takbir al-tahrima, three steps behind. And then we're making Allahu Akbar, and then we're running to get the ruku. Someone came and tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bukra, the young sahabi, this is what he's doing. What did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Oh Abu Bukra, may Allah increase your enthusiasm for salat, but next time don't do it like this way. May Allah increase your enthusiasm, but next time don't do it this way. When rectifying a situation, do not make the situation more worse than what it was. Many a times we want to correct people and we make the situation worse than what it was. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a person and he was urinating in the masjid. We all know the situation with regard to that incident. Now when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him urinating in one corner of the masjid, now when he was doing that, Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, let us stop him. Let us stop him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, bhai, leave him what he is doing. Let him finish it. Now just imagine and think about this. Someone is urinating in the masjid. You go after him and you go and stop him. Now he is in the busy of in doing something. What is he going to do? You are going to chase him. He is going to run, and while running, he'll still do what he's doing. So while he is doing something in one corner, if he's going to run, you're going to chase him. So instead of one corner of the masjid becoming napa, the whole masjid will become napa. Oh Sahaba, leave him. Let him finish what he's doing. After he finished, oh my Sahabi, this is not the way you do things. The masjid is not for this. Oh, the other Sahabi, take a bucket of water and go and clean it. So when you want to go rectify something, you don't make the situation more worse. Today, unfortunately, we don't have this perception. We want to go and rectify. We saw someone doing something wrong. Now we have become the great sheikh and the allama. We want to go and correct him. And in correcting him, we can make the situation even more worse. One of the amazing things that we hear with regard to our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, you know, Mufti also made mention with regard to it, that how did he change people? I find it amazing. How did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam change people in terms of Hind? Hind was amongst those who mutilated the body of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle. And when she mutilated it, she became a Muslim. And after that, when becoming a Muslim, not once did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taunt her that you were the one who mutilated the body of my uncle. And how many, Thamama bin Uthal came, and after a long period, a long incident, I don't have the time with regard to making mention with regard to it. Thamama bin Uthal came. He came and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to be among the foremost people in that tribe that used to influence and give taklif and inconvenience to the tribe and to the Muslims, and they used to do traveling for journey for business. So when he got caught and the Sahaba caught hold of him, they put him in a masjid and they tied him up to one of the pillars of the masjid. He remained 1 week. And when he remained 1 week, after that 1 week, when he came back, and when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam freed him, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to pass by him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Thamama, how should I treat you? Ya Rasulullah, if you punish me, you will be punishing someone who is worthy and entitled to be punished given what I have done against you and the Muslims. But if you show me kindness, I will repay it. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day came and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just freed him and said, go Thamama, you are free. Thamama came back. And one word I want to share with you, my dear respected brothers. Thamama told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after he became a Muslim, Ya Rasulullah, 1 week ago, you were the most detested person in my sight. I hated you more than I hated any human being. After seeing your way of living after 1 week, you are more beloved to me than even my family members. We live with people whole life. We can't make that type of influence because we haven't got the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 1 week, Hind, what she did. And then after Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever is in the house of Hind and Abu Sufyan, they will be safe. This was how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt, even with regard to the aspect of dealing with people, interpersonal relationship, give everyone importance. There was a mentally disabled woman in Medina and Munawwara. She was somewhat disabled and she used to have innate chatting amongst herself, and she used to walk and no one used to take her seriously. One day she came and she caught Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hand and said, I want to speak to you, Ya Rasulullah, and I want to take to you. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what do you want to tell me? She said, I can't tell you here. I will take you. And then she took Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one corner of the road and she put Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam down and she spoke to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave her importance. An ordinary woman who people never used to look at because of the fact that she was not well, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave her importance. There was a Sahabi by the name of Zahir bin Haram. He used to come. And I'll just give you one, the last two incidents. There are so many other incidents I would like to share. But in this particular way, Zahir bin Haram, he used to come from the desert. And he used to be an ordinary person. And he used to bring things that normally you get in the desert, you don't get in the city. And when he used to go, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to give him things that you get in the city, you don't get in the desert. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, he is my desert, I am his city. He is my desert, I am his city. So one day he came and he was selling his wares here in the bazaars of Medina. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved him a lot. And he used to make a lot of jokes with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam blindfolded him, came behind and put his hand, you know. So he started wriggling his way out of it, thinking, who is this? He was somewhat anxious and, you know. And in that particular way, when he was anxious, then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came to realize it was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he came closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to gain the blessedness of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's body. And then when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that he knows who I am, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who will buy the slave from me? Who will buy the slave from me? And Zahir said, Ya Rasulullah, what are you going to sell me? I am worthless. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Wallahi, Wallahi, Ya Zahir, indallahi laysat bikasid. In the eyes of Allah, you are not worthless. You are very valued. Ordinary person from the desert. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to make imamat in one of the masjids in Medina and Munawwara, outside, in the outskirts of Medina and Munawwara. Brothers, another example, don't judge people. We don't know what people, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them. We like to judge people. So as Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala used to make, you know, salat, and he used to make very long salat. So one sahabi couldn't bear the long salat. So he, while Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is making salat with jamaat, he used to make his own salat outside and go home. This was A sign of that time of a munafiq and a hypocrite who doesn't read namaz with jamaat. No matter what your complaints against a masjid, the trustees of an imam, you cannot stop reading namaz in a masjid. You do not have enmity against a masjid. And you cannot take out your enmity against a masjid. So when this happened, it was a major thing. So the people came to complain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him and said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" Listen to his reasoning. "Ya Rasulullah, we go out every day after Fajr. And we go plow the lands. We stay whole day in the lands. Whole day in the fields. When we come back, we are tired. Right? We want to sleep immediately after Fajr. After Isha. We tease one of our musallis, Pona, no. He want to go and sleep at 8:45, you know. So he was, we want to sleep after Isha, we want to go and sleep. You know, and Muaz is reading Surah Baqarah. And he's reading Surah Ali Imran. "Ya Rasulullah, I don't have the capacity. I read my own namaz, I'm going to go away." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Muaz came to complain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, this man has become a munafiq. He has become a hypocrite. He doesn't read namaz with jamaat." So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard his explanation, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his part. And he told Muaz, "Oh Muaz, afattanun anta. Oh Muaz, are you putting people into trial by making such long salat and putting people in trial? Read short salats." And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him to read Sabbih Isma'il wa Samai Dhatul Buruj, and Alhamdulillah, where imams read that, they don't read surah, they don't read whole surah Baqarah, Alhamdulillah. Huh? So at that particular time, then he said one thing. He said, "Muaz called me a hypocrite. One day I will show him who is a true believer and who is a hypocrite." He went out in jihad and he sacrificed his life in the path of Allah. That person who was called a hypocrite, he went to sacrifice his life in the path of Allah. When he passed away, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called Muaz. "Muaz, here is the person whom you used to call a hypocrite. Today he went to give his life and he has become a shaheed." Brothers, these are some examples. I would just like to make this appeal. Let us inculcate. Yes, the greatness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is great. Let us inculcate these qualities. Will we try and do so, inshallah? May Allah give us a tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Takbir. I say Jazakumullah to Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Bamsa for enlightening us with those great lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, refresh.